Hello, and you're listening to The Seventh Reel. This week, Resurrection, a 2022 film directed by Andrew Siemens, and Men, another 2022 film directed by Alex Garland. I've picked these films because they both deal with toxic masculinity, and I thought it's about time we have that conversation. Don't you think so?
Mm-hmm. Well, both were fun movies, though.
So
what did you guys think of, let's start with Men, because that seems to be like the more high profile one.
It is. I liked it. I quite enjoyed it. I was quite surprised by the amount of backlash it's received.
What kind of backlash?
Critically. Well, not by like actual critic. It seems to be that you can't make a film about toxic masculinity if you're a man. And that seems to be like the central criticism.
Because I've been thinking about this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way that the film portrays it is kind of sort of enabling it and trying to sort of show the fact that it spreads. Of like, you know, if other men allow it to happen, then it breeds and it breeds and it breeds. But then there's nothing. What are you adding to this conversation other than like highlighting that fact, which most people know anyway?
I don't think most people know that. And I don't think most people want to acknowledge that. Or if they do know, they don't want to like not be like actively confronted with it. That's why I kind of liked it.
I don't know. I don't like the movies where there's like no ending. It's just like, oh, and it's a metaphor for something. So we're, you know, just going to give you some symbolic bullshit. I don't know. I would have much rather have like had it be a little more grounded and being like, oh, she's seeing these things because there's a space alien and the space alien is doing this. That would have been more interesting to me than it being like, oh, this guy, he's giving birth to another guy and they're all bad and he's someone's son, so he's technically, you know, taking the, I don't know, it just felt incomplete.
Yeah, it just was like, okay, like, that's it? Like, what was the point?
Yeah, that's what I felt.
Like, because sometimes there's an ambiguous ending.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that she killed him.
Did she?
Like, with the axe by the end.
Yeah, but not all the others.
Because, like, all the others are dead, right? It's all, like, it just ends up with her confront. It all boils down to her ex-husband at the end. And that very central question is, like, what do you even want? And he's like, well, I just want your love. And then she kind of realizes that. And then you can see her kind of fiddle with the axe. And she kind of comes to peace with the idea that, no, she can let it go. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not her fault. And then she can sever it. And it's heavily implied by the end. You know, she's there. Like, you see the blood trail leading in. She kills him. She kills that guilt. And she's able to let go and smile.
Yeah, but there was no actual man. Like physical man that was real that she axed.
What's happening in the end is that the physical and like the metaphor had like kind of melded together by the end, right? Because her sister, is that her sister?
No, I think it's just a friend.
That is her sister, right?
They have different accents.
It's her friend. It's just a friend. What do you think the significance of, yes. Oh, her accent kind of is all over the place in this. It was weird because she was very consistent in Fargo. I don't know what happened here. Great actress, though. What's the significance of her friend being pregnant?
She's having a baby.
Oh my god. This is the sort of searing insight that our audience listening to, like working to this podcast.
Well, what do you think?
I think the idea is that her, like, I think it's just like, oh, it's inevitable, right? Life and death, it goes on and on. It will go on no matter what. Like, she shows up pregnant. It might be, I'm not sure if Alex Garland's implying that it's also another boy and that, you know, it's kind of inevitable that this cycle will continue, but.
Well, they
made
can
peace
stop
with it,
the
our
cycle.
Central character. Or, yeah, and then she severed it. Or, she, yeah.
Well, maybe. Stop the cycle. I don't know. I have no insight into this movie. I thought it was just a bad version of Resurrection. That's what I thought it was. After I watched Resurrection, I was like, oh, so this is what this could be. Yeah, because it does the whole thing where she like slices open his stomach and takes out the baby, and it's you know, really cool like symbolism. But then it's like, oh, but you know, she's actually just driven to madness by this guy. So it's like the consequences of it.
The ending is a lot more concrete.
So yeah. I thought it was cooler.
Yeah, which is much more. Well, moving on to Resurrection, I think that's what makes it more a better film is that it actually has a point, right? Well, a more concrete one. It's weird how a lot of people are saying that Resurrection has a very ambiguous ending when it's incredibly clear what happened.
Is it though? Because like what do you
like,
think?
Happened? Yeah, what do you think happened? I think it might be just that she like killed him and went. You know, and then realizes, oh shit, that's, I did that.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what it is. I think it's about how, like, sometimes, despite, you know, she starts out very put together, right? Like, and she, I love how it starts out with her consoling other women about, like, traumatic experiences with men. And it seems like she's got it put together. But the moment she sees him, it completely, the facade breaks. And you realize that sometimes the damage is done. There is no walking back from it. These are two people who have psychologically broken each other. Well, him being more, of course, the actual culprit. But I think he realizes just how much the damage she's done by the time she slices his Achilles tendon and starts cutting him open, which is... I loved it. When she pulled out the second knife, I started cheering.
But would you have?
I was by myself when I watched it, so it was okay.
Would you have liked it more if she had, if the baby stuff was real, like if it was actually?
No, I think.
Okay, and would what about this? Would you have liked it more if she sliced him open and then found nothing, and it just ended there, like it was like more, even more concrete?
Well. No, I don't think it would. Yeah, I think either, because I think it's the film trusts you to, as an audience, to kind of piece it together, which is why I liked it so much. It's like she sees the baby, of course, because of course she'll see the baby, right? Like at that point, driven to that, like she's at her breaking point, like she's completely wrecked by the end. Of course she's going to see it. Mm-hmm. But then the ending heavily implies that what really happened, like, you know, it's not there. She's just broken and the damage is done, and that's so much more haunting to me than anything else, the more concrete endings, I guess, like the directions it could have gone.
It reminds me, because my friend told me about this dog that they knew that got like really depressed because its hormones got out of whack, where the dog thought that it had babies and that the babies had been taken away, but it never had babies, so it was missing something that had.
So sad. Ugh.
I don't know how that's possible or how they can know this, but this is what I was told.
Damn. What did you guys think of the monologue? That was the big buzz of the film before the first thing I heard about this when it premiered at a film festival was like, Rebecca Hall does a wonderful monologue, and I was waiting for it, and it didn't disappoint. She was really good in it. It kind of made me feel a little bit more, it kind of lessens the impact that it's so much about him than it is anything like really concerning, like coming from her. Like the terrifying parts is like her talking about his demands and the little what's the word that they use in the film, kindnesses. I love that, such good writing, kindnesses. What did you guys think? It was a great performance.
I mean, how the other girl responded was pretty sad, I guess. It's like, is it? Oh
yeah, that felt really real. It's like, how else would you react if someone says that to you?
I think you'd be a bit more considerate. Like, I don't think you'd be that like dismissive as she was, as she just left. Like, she had no interest, even though that, like, this woman has taken so much of her time to listen to her problems, and then as soon as she reverses it, she's not interested.
Or just too even terrified.
I think that might just be bad writing for this specific character. Well, it also highlights the fact that, like, her alienation, but I don't know.
I think it may also highlight what happened to her was so specific and so traumatizing that it just, yeah, you're right. They alienate like other people. It just blocks other people off. And I think that's further emphasized with like the relationship between her and her daughter and her and lover.
Well, it's like that as well, where the daughter just leaves her. That's a bit much. Like, surely if someone is this unstable, it's not the best time to leave them alone. Like, a child shouldn't be dealing with it, but, like, someone should.
Well, but she doesn't want them to.
I don't know.
Right? I liked it when she punched him. Like, she's trying to confront her, she punches him in the street. It was awesome. And then she has that line. It's like, man, you can't, like, what was the line? That you can't put your dick inside someone before you, if you, like, you can't decide whether you love or hate them or something like that. Very specific. Well, I don't, it's weird how, like, you don't see, both of these films are written and directed by men, but it's Alex Garland's Men that has received much of the criticism of it, that it's like, from the idea, like, you can't do this from, like, a male, as a male, you can't tackle this from a female perspective. And both of these films do that. But this one comes, I guess Resurrection comes out on top because it's uncompromising in what, like, in the trauma.
If you did it from a male perspective, then that would open a whole thing of, like, are you on the male side? Are you, like, victimizing the woman? Like, it would be equally as off, I think, if it was a male protagonist. And especially in these situations, they don't work. But I don't know. Well, I saw, like, I heard this quote yesterday from this podcast from, what is it, the New York Public Library with Eve Ensler, who was saying that, like, rape isn't a woman's issue. Like, men rape people. Like, it's not a woman's, it's an equal both gender issue. All gender issue. And, like, I don't know. It's just framed in this way that it's very, like, a female issue can only be tackled by females. And, like, I don't think, I don't know. These
maybe the perspective is that ultimately is the females, it's the female who carries most of the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think these films did a good job of tackling the issues in any, like, way that's contributing to anything other than men thinking they're doing something good, which is all that I see from this. I don't really see anything that's adding anything to the conversation.
I think for especially Resurrection, I think it's making a very pointed statement about, like, how, again, like, you know, we think we can overcome trauma, but what we have to see that sometimes it cuts so deep that we can't walk away from it. And I think it's a pointed takedown on a lot of other similar-esque stories of women reclaiming, like, oh, we all like a good revenge tale, right? A vengeance and comeuppance. But ultimately that just leaves us, this is just a cycle of violence, right? The traumas that we inflict upon each other.
Yeah, but the reality of trauma is that you, like, probably need a therapist to help you deal with the trauma. You don't need to go through some weird filmic experience, like, that would make sense in a film. Like, that's the reality of trauma.
But is the argument that it's like these stories shouldn't be told in the first place?
I don't know. I just don't understand what they're doing and why they exist.
They exist because both of these directors really like David Cronenberg.
Yeah, I think so. But should we take a break?
Yeah, that's sure. Let's take a break. And we're back. Now, step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Let's rate these films up.
Okay, I'm going to go Resurrection 5. Men 2. Sorry, Arvid.
It's okay. I get it.
This is after I watched Resurrection. I was like, I like it.
I already seen Resurrection, and I was going into Men not expecting much, but I was still pleasantly surprised. I got something from it. I don't know. I'm going to give Resurrection 4 and Men 3. I think both of these are fine movies. And I think Men has been overtly criticized, in my opinion. People on Letterboxd do not know what the fuck they're talking about. All right, Michelle?
I'm going to go 2 to Men, 2 to Resurrection. They don't get any.
Ah.
You can't do that. Can.
Nice.
3 to
it's
me.
It's not part of the... Okay.
Okay, so okay. 3 to Although, Michelle.
3 to Michelle.
I did. And I found Men, like, unsettling. Just the fact that, like, everyone had the same face. That was really creepy. And then the setting of it looked very close to where I live. So that was also creepy. But that's it.
Oh yeah, kudos to the actor Rory Kinnear. I thought he did a fantastic job, like nailing all the little different types of men. I loved his priest. I love like his priest character. Oh,
Oh, that's why it was called Men.
yeah, it's all the same, man. Get it? Get it? All right. Moving
That's
on. What have we watched this week? I got something lined up.
what have you watched this week?
I finished Better Call Saul legally because it's
Okay, well,
available on Netflix.
you can't say anything, 'cause I'm still behind.
I
So
will.
fi
I'm
just
not.
what
No
did
plot
what else did
details.
you watch?
Okay. Well, shit.
No, I don't want to even hear your thoughts until I'm done.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Damn. Shit.
You must have watched some terrible action movie that you want to tell us about. Come on. Just think of something.
Well, someone else goes first. Go first then. Michelle, what have you watched?
I watch Inside the Mind of Cats. It's a new Netflix documentary.
Okay.
Why is
Is it
it
any
funny?
good?
So what is
What
it?
is
How
it?
does it?
Yeah, how do you like it?
I thought it was good. It was great. It was lots of cats in it. Well, they're
Uh-huh.
saying that like the research on cats is like 15 years behind dogs. But then some of the experiments they were doing were
Oh.
like ridiculously obvious. Like they put in a room with the owner of the cat and then a stranger, and then both of them were like, "Come here, come here." And then obviously the cat would go to the owner, but they needed to do a scientific experiment to prove this, which is a bit. But then other things were like interesting in how they talk about like the differences between cats and different cats and different cats around the world.
And
Yeah,
dogs.
and dogs. And they talk about
Oh.
dogs a bit, yeah. How dogs think their owners are God.
They're like,
Yeah.
oh, really? Dogs think their owners
No,
are
God.
God? Oh, okay. Yeah,
Your dog
wow.
sees you as a deity.
What did you
I watched
watch?
the new film by the director of Old Boy. I can't believe I forgot to mention this, even though I really liked it. It's called Decision to Leave by Park Chan-wook.
Yeah.
Loved it. I think this is his best work. A
Movie
movie
I
that you can't
can't
watch. The subs
watch.
are out at this point. I'm sure you can find the English subs at this point. It's been, yeah. It's
Oh, okay.
beautiful.
Then,
It's
yeah, then
every
great.
single lesson
Yeah.
that it feels like he's combining everything he's learned after all these years of filmmaking and making something a bit more tender, but no less creepy and haunting by the end. It's a combination of, I think, Paul Verhoeven's, what's that? Fatal Instinct? That's the one. Fatal Instinct and a little bit of more in Hitchcock. But yeah, it's a beautiful amalgamation. There's some beautiful, wonderful shots, beautiful music, great performances. Highly recommend it. I don't really want to spoil that much about it because it is a kind of a puzzle box movie. There are multiple twists and turns. Fantastic. Loved it. 10 out of 10. Now, what have you watched, Yusuf?
Well, I've watched the last thing I watched, Better Call Saul. What if I steal it? No, I actually haven't watched anything lately. I was gonna watch Maps to the
Oh,
Stars,
it's not great,
but
in
I
my
did
opinion.
not. So that's okay. Then I will not watch it. I will watch Vengeance, the new
Oh,
BJ
that's
Novak
out?
movie.
He's got a
I heard
movie?
it's good.
Cool.
Yeah, it's about a podcaster, so
Relevant.
I think it's about a podcaster.
All
But
right,
yeah,
that brings
so
us
that's
to
it.
our recommendations.
Oh, right, I keep forgetting that's it. Well, I will recommend
Oh,
Rosemary's
that's pretty
Baby.
good.
That's
Yep.
what I'm going to recommend. Okay.
Tackle similar subject
Yeah,
matter.
all right, that's it.
Albeit with a much more obvious ending. Cool.
Yeah, the baby is the devil.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Michelle, do you have any recommendations?
No, you go first.
Okay, my recommendation, well, speaking of which, is Charlie
Oh no, I have
Kaufman's.
one.
Okay.
Okay,
All
never
right, go
mind.
ahead.
Okay, shut up,
I thought you were gonna steal
Arvind.
it, so that's why I said it first.
Okay.
Mother by what's his face.
Oh shit, Atosh. Oh, that's good.
Oh, that,
That's a
yeah.
good
Okay, that's a good
one.
one. That's such a good one. That's what I wanted to say. Oh, damn.
Why, Michelle?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Why, Mother?
Because they eat a baby, it's the same thing.
I
Forgot that
do
happens. I
that.
completely forgot that
It's a
happens in
pretty
the movie,
good
yeah.
combo. I would like that combo. watched Mother and Rosemary's Baby, or Mother and Grace.
Oh yeah, that's a very depressing combo, but a very good one. I was going to recommend Charlie Kaufman's Anomalisa. Mm-hmm. I was thinking a bit between that and I'm Thinking of Ending Things, but I think Anomalisa is much more pointed towards this very specific, this, like, how awful men are. It also has the same detail in Men, where every character has the same, other than our protagonist, has the same face and speaks with the same voice. But it's all puppets in Anomalisa, so it's even weirder. But no less sad and haunting, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So that'll be my recommendation. Well, that kind of brings us to the finale. What are we watching, Michelle?
Next week.
It's your pick.
We're watching Whiplash and The Black Swan.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Something.
So everyone's seen these, so everyone can listen.
Exactly. Please do. We're on our knees here. Well, in that case, that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Okay. Stay tuned for next week. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
And keep it real. Bye-bye. Bye.
The Seventh Reel is hosted by Arvin Huang, Michelle Hassel, and Yusuf Al-Bashir. Logo by Joe Conti. Our ad break music is composed by Yusuf Sui Lim. And our outro music is composed by Yahya Al-Bashir. Thanks for listening.